760 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Greater Atlanta and beyond. This is The Morning Quest, where we help you find joy in the journey, but truly, you give us that joy back exponentially. I'm Josh Harris, joined by Allison DeLuhl.
Good morning.
The Quest Studios in Atlanta, and we are so blessed to have you with us today. Why don't we take those blessings to a new level? Because I think Allison has a prayer prepared for us.
I sure do. With school coming to an end, with kids graduating, with traveling coming up, I have a prayer for peace in our hearts during this time of many things happening. So let's start in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, together we come before you seeking the peace that only you can give. In the midst of our worries, our struggles, and our uncertainties, we ask you to calm our minds and still our hearts. You have told us, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. That's John 14:27. Help us to hold on to that promise. Free us from fear, heal our anxious thoughts, and fill us with the quiet strength of your presence. Unite our hearts in trust and guide us with your love. Let your peace reign within us so that we may be instruments of peace to others through Christ our Lord. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got a little message this morning, and this goes especially to Allison, but all the wonderful women out there that bring the best out of the people who are around them. So I had the privilege of going to the Knights of Columbus convention with Allison, and this is amazing. Just action-packed with some heroic souls from the Georgia area, Knights of Columbus, guys doing amazing things. It was in Jekyll Island. And you never know when a plot twist may happen. So, forgot my razor. Big surprise there. So, I ask the hotel if they have any extra razors. Now, I mean, let me just warn all the guys out there. If you ever ask for a hotel razor, just be warned, you are shaving with a machete, okay? This felt like a prison razor, perhaps. I'm not sure. But So I get this razor. Maybe it was just my technique. I'll say that. But I show up out of this, out of the bathroom, and I essentially look like I had gotten into a knife fight or something. And so, typically you might have a little bit of time to let's just say bandage things up, look a little bit better, but we had to go right to the event. So I'm in my suit and my tie, looking like I've escaped from federal penitentiary or something. And some people are looking at me a little suspect when I got into the convention, face is a little swollen. And here comes Allison with the feminine genius. She says, I'm going back to the hotel and I'm getting some aloe for your face. And she goes back there, she gets the lotion, she makes it, you put it on my face. Let me tell you, it really cooked for a minute. But I came back and I was like a new person out of that bathroom. I mean, oh my goodness, did you give me a major makeover? So, maybe this is a reminder that, God's love certainly comes in unexpected forms. Like Allison getting that, lotion bottle and, to remedy my suffering. That was a good Samaritan moment, Allison. Thank you very much for, making me present my best self in a time I needed it the most.
My pleasure. There is no way I was going to let you go in like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looked pretty bad. It looked painful.
Yeah, exactly. I had looked like a Knight of Columbus who had, seen a little too much action on the battlefield, So this was, this is great. And I think that's what we're called to do. And I think certainly, like, when I think about my mother, there's really this sense of other-mindedness.
Oh, yes.
Right? I mean,
All the time.
Really is this sacrificial perspective. What do I say? I've heard that phrase, a mom is only as happy as her unhappiest son. Mm-hmm. And there is something I see that in my mom all the time where, she's just, it's like a mentor of mine says, Josh, when I think about myself, I get depressed. When I think about others, I feel you know, peace, joy. And I think moms are just consistently thinking about others.
Well, it's true. And, you know, and it's a servant's heart.
Yeah.
I mean, once you're a mom, and even if you're not a mom, I mean, we're called to serve many of the times that we have conversations in here, scripture verses, scripture readings. It's all about serving, right? Mm-hmm. So just being aware of those that are in need and stepping in and helping out.
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you so much for helping me not get thrown out of that convention, Allison, for looking like I was crashing the party. Truly grateful.
My pleasure.
For that.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
Thanks for joining us for a special Best of the Morning Quest this Memorial Day.
Today's show was pre-recorded so we could be with our families, and we hope you're able to do the same. May God bless you and our troops.
We are joined by Father Colin Patrick from St. Bridget's Catholic Church in Johns Creek. He is also a veteran. We are so grateful for his service. Graduate of West Point as well. We have the privilege of having him in our diocese for a little bit longer before he becomes an Army chaplain. Is that correct, Father?
That's correct. And I know I was on the air back in November, but on that note again, just another shout out to one of my Army buddies, Larry Schauer. He's been on the Quest a few times. So to him and to any other folks that have served, hello and appreciate your service. So
Larry Schauer's a rock. I think they should make a sitcom called Everybody Loves Larry. He is so cool.
A great man of faith right there. And
Yeah, a tremendous warrior for God. Well, Father, can you help us make a distinction between Veterans Day and Memorial Day and speak to the unique significance of Memorial Day in particular?
Sure. Yeah, so both, you know, obviously they honor our servicemen and women and are special for that reason. But Memorial Day, which is coming up, is for those that have paid the ultimate sacrifice, those that have laid down their lives. And it's a little bit more solemn than, I would say, than Veterans Day, even though that they're both interconnected. But it began shortly after the Civil War, I believe, and there's some dispute in this, but in Columbus, Georgia, of all places, here in our own home state, where folks would go out and place wreaths and flowers upon the graves of Civil War soldiers, both Confederate and federal troops, as a way of bringing peace and reconciliation after this war that somewhat tore our country apart. Wow. So that's kind of the roots of Memorial Day. It's honoring the dead of the Civil War.
And it's what you said is so powerful. So people would kind of lay down their allegiance, so to speak, and step across party lines to honor fallen soldiers on both sides.
Yes.
So you have a very unique connection to this, both as a priest, but also as a veteran yourself. As a priest and veteran, how does this day resonate with you? And is there a particular way you step into it?
As a Catholic priest, we have in our history, in our tradition, this belief that the dead are the communion of those who have passed are with us still. And so there is some real meaning and purpose to honoring the dead. It's a corporal work of mercy, as our church teaches, to bury the dead. And part of that burial or that committal process is to keep their memories alive and continue to pray for the souls of those who have passed, and the belief that the souls, especially in heaven, but also in purgatory, are with us, and that there's just that mystical connection there, not by our own ability, but by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's bringing all of this, all of world history into, you know, that consummation one day in the second coming. But in the meantime, we're still connected with those who've gone before.
Yeah. I think a lot of times when we look around on Memorial Day, it's a party. You know, people are thinking, great, I got the day off, I'm going to head to the lake. But how can we as Catholics approach this day with a particular spirit of prayer and gratitude?
Yeah, I'd say, just making time for prayer, making time for that silence. You know, I'm not going to say, you know, don't kick off the summer. That's a beautiful part of our American culture, is to celebrate in those ways. But do take time to remember and honor those that that have paid the ultimate sacrifice and to give thanks, you know, give thanks for them. So a particular song that actually comes to mind on Memorial Day weekend, because it's, you know, beginning of summer and honoring those who have fought, as a Zac Brown band's their song Chicken Fried, and talking to are you familiar with that?
I heard that song. Yeah.
So, listen to the Zac Brown Band, and there's one stanza in that where it, he talks about thanking God for the men who've died, who've given their lives so that we can enjoy these things like chicken fried and barbecue and what have you. So it's just a beautiful but upbeat mention to those, and salute to those who have passed.
The fact that you brought that up is so wonderful, in the sense that we forget in the little things that we can truly honor those that paid the ultimate price.
Mm-hmm.
You forget about that this is a gift that has been, you know, paid for by some of the most courageous people that went before us. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a wonderful way to put it into perspective. And I'm sure that you have, you know, perhaps a particular veteran or someone that you remember when you think of Memorial Day. Is there anyone that particularly inspires you?
Sure. Yeah, I'll speak to two, actually. One who I knew personally, and another who I know kind of through this communion of the deceased. But the first one would be my company TAC officer, who was in charge of us cadets when I was at the Service Academy. And to go back to that Zac Brown song that means so much was you know, I just remember that song playing one Friday evening in the barracks when we were all cleaning our rooms, because we had an early morning inspection the next day, the Saturday morning. And this particular attack officer was coming through the hallway, and he always tried to make, you know, difficult things light. That was the thing we all loved about him. His name was Major Kennedy, and so he would actually bring his lab into the barracks, and he'd be throwing the tennis ball down the hallway and just kind of lighten the mood. And then that song was on as we were cleaning up our rooms, getting ready for that big inspection the next day. And that was one of my many good memories of Major Kennedy. And he actually sadly would end up losing his life in Afghanistan a few years later. On I believe August 8th of 2008, he was killed. So God rest his soul. I think of him often. I pray for him often. He was in my mass intention for my very first mass here last summer. So Major Thomas Kennedy. So my hat goes off to him, and hope his family's doing well and have been able to move on and know that his love is still very much alive, I believe, alive in Christ
and alive in you.
Alive in me, yes.
I mean, here you are ministering to all these sheep in Christ's flock, and you never know the imprint that he had on you that is radiating in those you serve.
Right. Yes. I definitely feel his, I guess, intercession, if you could say, times like, again, that the dead that we that have gone on are actually still very much, said, alive. And so
thank you so much, Father Colin Patrick, for helping us embrace and enter more deeply into this Memorial Day. Look forward to having a chat with you a little later in the show about one of your favorite heroes of the faith.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak. Coming up at 10 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest. Join us for more to life.
But now let's return to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
You're listening to a special best of the Morning Quest this Memorial Day.
We've recorded this ahead of time to spend the day with our families, and we're so grateful for the brave men and women who've given everything for ours.
Larry Schauer, our dear friend, parishioner at St. Catherine of Siena and the head of Atlanta Catholic Fellowship. They've got a lot of people that they are serving over there. And Larry, it's such an honor to have you here, especially as we near Memorial Day. You yourself are a veteran. Can you share a little bit about that?
Certainly. I graduated from West Point in the class of 1990 and branched armor. And soon after that, I found myself the big sandbox down in Southwest Asia.
Wow.
Called Desert Storm.
One, you graduated from West Point. That's like the Harvard of military schools. You're really being groomed for leadership, for very specialized training. So first off, thank you for your heroism, your service. Mm-hmm. and your courage. You were practicing Catholic in the military as well, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
So can you tell us what it meant to serve and how faith played a role in that journey?
Faith is very important, especially in the military. A lot of soldiers, the first time away from home, and having God to reach out to and grab onto is very important.
What does prayer and faith look like in that kind of environment, especially when you're in, you said, South Asia, is that correct?
Yeah, prayer is important. I remember one of my favorite memories of being down in Desert Storm was Easter Sunday. We had a big shortage of priests and chaplains, so we didn't have a Catholic mass where we were because we were in armor, so we were very spread out. Mm-hmm. We did have a Christian Easter service out in the desert where Christianity was illegal.
Wow.
And I'm sure that took some courage as well. That's incredible. Y'all were all united to Christ as a band of brothers, realizing that y'all needed each other. Most importantly, you needed the Lord. Is that right?
Definitely. We need the Lord. And it was a small group of us, probably fewer than 20. And we're out there in the desert. And I don't remember how we got there. It was probably Humvee. But we're just standing there. We had our service. And it's just very enlightening.
Wow. So, you know, what's something perhaps civilians might not realize about what military service demands, like spiritually or emotionally?
It's just very difficult. It's very challenging because you have the whole world coming at you. Think about going to college and the forces of the culture and the world trying to tear you away from God. Well, it's that much and even more in the military.
So here you are in the middle of the desert, and while most people there have tremendous courage and they're willing to, you know, sacrifice for their country, perhaps not everybody shares the same ethical or moral compass as you. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. And that's the way it is everywhere. I mean, you can find that inside the church itself, right? So how do you hold fast to your values?
It's just a matter of reaching and knowing that God is our ultimate strength and our hope of salvation, and just holding on to the cross.
Yeah, that's a great, great message. Now, when you were in West Point, were you also in a routine of faith as well?
Yes, sir. I was very active at going to Mass in the church there, and I was part of the cadet Catholic choir for 4 years.
Oh,
nice. So it's like the that's like the Catholic military scola?
Kind of, yeah.
Wow, that's rocking, man. That's beautiful stuff. So when you're in West Point, is there a larger faith life there, would you say, you know, core group?
Definitely. Most cadets at West Point are involved in their faith and going to church services, usually weekly, if not more.
Wow, that's amazing. So I don't know. I guess I'm wondering, as Catholics, especially as we you know, around the Memorial Day time, what are your thoughts on, like, how can we best pray for those who are currently serving?
Excellent question. I would say just pray and ask God to give the individual the grace that they need to persevere and to carry the cross.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you are over there, regardless if it's your time in West Point or if you are deployed, I'm wondering, was there any spiritual consolations you got, or particular prayer routines, spiritual direction? Was there something in your regimen of faith that you felt gave you the courage, the strength, and the grace to keep persevering like you're talking about?
I would say just came moment by moment as I need it. It wasn't any aha moments.
Yeah. I think that's really important too, because what you're talking about, especially when you were in the middle of, you know, you said the desert and y'all are having this group Christian service, right? So you could have been discouraged and said, oh, there's not a church nearby, or this isn't a country where Christianity is even legal. But Jesus did say, where two or more are gathered, I am there.
Amen.
You brought the church to the desert.
Amen.
Yeah, and I think that is so critical. I mean, the Lord himself talks about he's going to send us the counselor. I hope we are near a tabernacle, near a mass, near a priest. But at the same time, in these kinds of dire circumstances, you know, God's grace was front and center. And you guys collectively took that initiative to step out and stand up for God, especially on the most important day of the liturgical calendar. You made a way in this circumstance, and it's, you said, perhaps your favorite memory of Desert Storm.
Amen, definitely.
I'm wondering, does Memorial Day mean something to you personally, given your experience in service?
Yes. As you know, it is specifically for those who have died in service to their country. I do have people I've known who have died while wearing the uniform. So I try to reflect on that and just on their memories and their service.
Pray for them. Pray for the repose of their soul. We can make them our Mass intention as well. And you especially, with this, you know, really deep emotional connection to these people, I'm sure that that just influences your spirituality and your gratitude towards them. Any last thoughts on how listeners can honor those who've given their lives beyond parades and flags?
Yes, I heard this on, I believe it was on The Quest a year or two ago, that Memorial Day is probably the most sacred holiday that is a secular holiday on our calendar.
Wow.
So, Larry, what can we do to help those that are serving for our country? Is there anything that we can do? Send them food, send them any type of care package boxes to show our appreciation for what they are doing, putting their lives on the line, you know, being in the military.
Oh, definitely. Well, the very least, you could pray for them in daily prayers. And also send them letters, send them packages, especially those who are overseas. It'd be a big help.
What a great thing to do on Memorial Day, right? To send letters and write letters for those that are serving.
So the most sacred secular holiday on the calendar. So we need to be lifting them up on this very special day. Keep them in your prayers, absolutely. Especially, though, it doesn't need to be a morbid, like Father Colin was talking about with me. It doesn't need to be this morbid anchor on our hearts. It can also be a day of tremendous gratitude. We are experiencing freedom and fellowship as a result of those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. Thank you so much, Larry Schauer. We are so grateful for you. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
You're listening to a special Best of the Morning Quest this Memorial Day.
Today, we pause to pray for those who gave everything for our freedom and for their families.
May God bless their memory and bless you.
We're joined by Father Colin Patrick from St. Bridget's Catholic Church in Johns Creek, soon to be Army chaplain, and he is discussing one of his favorite heroes of the faith, who was also an Army chaplain himself. Who are we talking about, Father?
This particular person lived before my time, so I didn't have the opportunity to meet him, you know, on this side of eternity. But I believe he's still very much one of those souls that is present and interceding. And hopefully he'll be a named saint one day. But his name is Father Peter Whelan. He was a priest of the Diocese of Savannah right around the time of the Civil War, so the mid-1800s. I think he's just a great exemplar for Memorial Day, again, speaking to how this national holiday somewhat began after the conclusion of the American Civil War. And the reason I say that is because Father Peter was a POW on both sides of the conflict, if you will.
Wow.
So in the initial years of the war, he was serving men at the garrison of Fort Pulaski, which is, if you ever go down to Savannah, it's a small outpost in between Savannah and Tybee Island. And that fort was taken by federal troops, and Father Whelan did not want to leave his soldiers, so he was taken prisoner and shipped up to New York with the other Confederate prisoners, where he worked to advocate for them to receive clothing and different things at a New York prison. And eventually his release was negotiated, and he came back south, came back home to Georgia. And following returning here, he volunteered to go to kind of the notorious Andersonville prison.
Wow.
Which is in central Georgia, and that's where, you know, a bunch of federal troops were, POWs were sent, and more or less just to kind of rot in the middle of this giant field in pretty deplorable circumstances. And But yes, Father Whelan volunteered to go serve, and he was known as the Angel of Andersonville. But he lived there tending to prisoners that were there and that were often in, you know, dying of dysentery. And I remember my last year in the Army, myself and another officer went to go visit Andersonville because it wasn't too far from Fort Benning, and they have the POW memorial there, and there's one exhibit that had a prayer book and a rosary that was belonged to Father Whelan. And at the time, you know, looking at that exhibit, I didn't really know much about him, but that stood out to me as like, wow, you know, even in this very difficult situation, you see that the presence of God working through this particular person, and, to bring relief to the suffering of so many. Yeah, I forget the exact figures of how many were crammed into that field at Andersonville, but it was like, you know, basically each person had enough room only to lay down, and then from head to foot was like about the plot of their land or whatever. They were just packed in there like cattle.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Pass. So, did he die during the war?
So he didn't die during the war. I guess before going to Andersonville or volunteering to go there, he took out a big financial loan, and he used that to buy food, to buy flour or cornmeal for all the prisoners that were there.
Wow.
And so he put this together in what became known as Whelan's Bread. And he would pass this out to the, I guess when he arrived, he'd pass it out to prisoners there. And so after the war ended and, you know, the camps were opened and the prisoners went home, Father Whelan went back to the Diocese of Savannah, and he was in pretty poor health himself, just given the conditions that were there. And he was given a large sum of money to get the medical aid that he needed, or to see treatment, find treatment from his wounds there. But he decided instead to repay the person who gave him this loan with that money. And I want to say it was roughly 7 years or so after the conclusion of the Civil War, Father Whelan just died of some long-term problems that he had received because of the conditions there.
Well, I love how he embraced his faith fully, and rather than taking the money and run, like he did, what he made it a priority to pay this back, right? And but while tending to the immediate need of those whose lives were likely in jeopardy from malnourishment, things like that. I mean, he was, like Jesus said, you know, did you visit me in prison? If you do it for the least of these, you do it for me. I mean, so there's a major emphasis in providing for someone's spiritual needs, but physical needs as well.
Yep.
And so he really lived both sides of that coin.
Oh, yeah.
That's so powerful.
And both sides of, you know, serving the prisoners from both sides of this conflict.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Jesus says we're supposed to love our enemies.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't tell me what side someone was favoring if they are ministering to both people. You know, they were all God's children with equal dignity, right? And that is a pretty profound witness to display during wartime.
Right.
When you've seen both of these sides probably do just heartbreaking atrocities in, you know, in the name of war.
Yeah.
And yet here he is serving them in this sacrificial capacity. Doesn't matter who it is. He is there as father and shepherd.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty powerful. Pretty moving for sure. So
yeah, that's amazing.
And if you were to, you know, kind of claim a side, if you will, as you said, our Lord's side, he belongs first and foremost to Jesus Christ. But, you know, I think it's just, it's pretty cool too, in that this priest was from the home state of Georgia here.
Yeah.
You know. Savannah probably has better dibs on him than us, our Archdiocese of Atlanta, but nonetheless, he's someone that we as from Georgia can be very proud of,
absolutely. Has his cause been submitted by chance for canonization? Is that on the ticket at all?
You know, I haven't heard anything. I've heard more of, you know, the other military chaplains like Father Emil Capon and Vince Capodanno, you know, some more recent guys. See, their cases have been pushed up to Rome, but yeah, nothing nothing that I know of on Father Whelan. So,
hey, maybe someone from our Quest family can be one of the people that turns the tide, okay? So you can ask for Father Wheeler's intercession.
Yeah. That'd be good, so... We'll see. Whatever the good Lord and His providence, you know, if anything, we'll just, I still think even if it's not a formal approved case, you know, these guys, Father Whelan and like my friend I was saying, Major Thomas Kennedy, they're still able to pray and intercede for us. So we'll look forward to seeing them again one day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's the hope that kind of shines through all of this, and you know, to keep in mind through Memorial Day weekend, just knowing and believing that we as Christians, as Catholics, we see all of this in light of the resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So yeah, I just think with the resurrection of our Lord, you know, that gives hope to all of us that, again, not only is Jesus alive and well, as we know, but also we will see those who've gone before that we'll meet him again one day in heaven. And, you know, as it said in this past Sunday's gospel from Revelation, you know, there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more crying, every tear will be wiped away. And so for anyone that's mourning the loss of a loved one, especially one who's paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country, I just want to say two things. Number one, thank you for the sacrifice that your loved one made to keep our country alive and keep us moving forward and to allow us to enjoy the things that we love. And then two, just a reminder that you will see your loved one again one day by the grace of God, not by our doing, but by the grace and power of God and His risen Christ. And then one little shout out that I would like to add about Father Whelan, who we talked about. For those of you who've been out to the Heritage Center, the Church of the Purification, east of Athens there, he was actually a pastor of that parish before the Civil War.
First church in Georgia, right?
First, I guess, continuous standing church, in Georgia. I know there's been a few upgrades. One, the original... burnt down or whatever, but he was sort of old Catholic historic settlement there in East Georgia, and Father Peter Whelan, his footsteps have walked there, so it's very hallowed grounds for many reasons. So if you get a chance to go out to that place, to the Heritage Center, maybe invoke Father Whelan's intercession in addition to the Blessed Mother.
Thank you so much, Father Colin Patrick, priest at St. Bridget's in Johns Creek, soon to be Army chaplain. We are so grateful for you, your service to Christ's Army and our United States Army as well. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you, Josh. You have a soldier's name, by the way, Yeshua. So God bless you, brother.
I'll take it. Thank you, Father.
You're welcome.
Hi, I'm Father John Ricardo. Join me for Christ is the Answer today at noon. But now, let's return to the Morning Quest with Josh and Allison on AM 1160, The Quest.
Happy Memorial Day from the Morning Quest.
Today's episode is pre-recorded, but our gratitude for our heroes is ever present.
God bless you and God bless America. Lindemann Frischner and Director of Adult Evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel is going to be sharing with us how we can keep our kids engaged and faith-filled during summer break. So welcome back, Kathleen.
Well, good morning, Allison. Good to be back.
As a mom of three, this is an important topic that we are going to be tackling today.
Well, you know, the summer is long. And so just like at Lent, when we made our Lenten plans way before Lent started, we need to think about the things that we're going to do with our children or our grandchildren that will help issue the summer forth, right? And
yes.
But it will be fruitful. And so, you know, you get into a couple weeks of summer, you know, the kids are laying around, you've got things you want to do, and then things seem to be just, oh gosh, it's not good. So I thought today we could talk about, let's get our summer plans together with our kids. Now, we don't have to, you know, have every minute planned for them, but we should have something fun but yet spiritual that we have planned throughout the summer, so that teaching our children doesn't stop because school is over.
Amen. Right?
We're the first domestic church. We are the stewards of our children. And so it's our responsibility to keep feeding them with things that are good and holy and pure. So I would like to give today three things that we can do. Number one, we need to make a list. I know we have lots of maybe people we're going to see, vacations we're planning. We'd like to clean their rooms. We'd like to organize our things. So, yeah, those are all very important things, and we must do them. But what are we going to do spiritually for our children? Mm. And so I have my top three that I'm going to talk about this week. And hopefully in the weeks to come, I'll be giving you, you know, two or three little tidbits every week. And you never know, you might be having your grandkids over that week and say, yes, I think I could do that. And that would be a holy thing. And so let's start with, let's get some index cards and let's memorize some scripture verses. I don't care how old your kids are. I remember years ago, we had a lady in our neighborhood who was a beautiful artist. And I asked her if she could paint a scroll over my front door in the foyer. It was a beautiful scroll. She put it right on the wall. She painted it. And then I wanted to pick out a scripture verse that our whole family could get behind. Oh, this would be our mantra.
Yes.
So I prayed about it, and I had like four or five different scripture verses. And I gave them to everybody in the family, my two boys and my husband. And I said, pick out which one you think should go over the front door and be our family mantra. And they were really into it. And they all picked the same one.
How divine.
And it was. And she painted it. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Anytime I'm around or I need an inspiration, we kind of say that to each other. That is our mantra. Who would have known 15, 20 years ago when I did this, that that's still relevant to me, my husband, and my children today? So how about parents sitting down with their kids, and you can Google anything. You can take your Bible, you can go on Google and just type in one word, and scripture verses come up. Have them select a scripture verse one a week. Now, if you have three kids, each one takes a scripture verse, puts it on an index card. Maybe you put that on the mirror in the bathroom when you're brushing your teeth. Everybody's talking about that. When we memorize scripture, God brings those scriptures back to us in a timely fashion when we need them the most. Like Psalm 27:14, hold firm, take heart, and hope in the Lord. I don't care if you're 8 years old or if you're 18. I don't care if you're 60-some years old. We need scripture. And the more we put scripture in front of us, we can put scripture in our car. We can do this even as adults. You need to take an index card, write a scripture, and with a piece of painter's tape, tape it to the dash of our car.
Yes.
Every time we get in that week, we're looking. Hold firm, take heart, hope in the Lord. You don't think the Lord is going to provide an opportunity when you're talking to someone that you could say, you know what, this reminds me of Psalm 27. Hold firm, take heart, sister, hope in the Lord. You know, that's God's word of acclamation to maybe someone else.
Yes.
You know, that needs that. So memorize scripture verses. That's a great one that you can do throughout the entire summer. Maybe someone will find that will be helpful. Another tip I'd like to pass on is have your children make their own prayer books. We have lots of prayer books out there, but if you Google Holy Catholic prayers, have your children go through some of these prayers and write down in a little tablet or something different prayers that they find are really beautiful and really helpful. I had a girlfriend going through breast surgery just the other day, and I sent her this prayer because I found it somewhere, don't remember where I found it, but if I was making a prayer book, which I have my little notepad on my phone, I put down little things, and I don't even know where I got this, but listen to this. Lord Jesus, enlighten what is dark in me, strengthen what is weak in me, mend what is broken in me, bind what is bruised in me, heal what is sick in me, revive whatever peace and love has died in me. Amen.
That's beautiful.
Now, that's not a typical prayer you would find in a traditional Catholic prayer book, but it is a Catholic prayer, right?
Yes.
And I had it in my little notepad, and I knew she was going through surgery, so I go to my notebook, my little prayer book, and my phone, picked out a prayer, and I texted that to her. It doesn't matter again. you're 8 years old or if you're 88 years old.
Yes.
Right? These are things that we put into our toolbox, right, mm-hmm. that will help us to evangelize others in their time of need. And so here's what you do. You make that little Catholic prayer book with your kids. And then when you go to bed, it isn't, well, what are we going to say? When my grandkids come over, they always say, Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love. But that's a great prayer. But I want them at the ages of 11 and 13 to start getting into a little bit more meaty, you know, prayers yes. that you can just like chew on a little bit.
Yes.
And so if they make a little prayer, and you could even do one a week, and throughout the summer, you've got 8 or 10 prayers at the end of the summer. And when you pray with your kids at night, they pick one of their favorite mm. prayers. Or if you're praying together as a family, you know, hey, Noah, pick out a prayer from your prayer book that we can say as a family. And that's giving them kudos of mom and dad are recognizing that my prayer is important too. This yes. meant something to him. That's why he picked it. So making prayer books, decorating the prayer books with, you know, stickers or printed artwork or whatever.
Yes.
It's making that unique and it's making it holy. And I'll tell you, in time you can pass that probably on to your children's children, right? Look at this is a
wow.
This is a prayer book that dad made someday. The third thing is make an effort to go to daily mass. Daily mass, mm-hmm. not weekly. Hopefully we're all going to weekly mass, but maybe pick up the grandkids and say, you know what, we're going to go to a daily mass. Some people don't even realize that there is a daily
yes.
mass. And daily mass is short. It's not an hour. It's a half hour, sometimes 25 minutes. You go through the scripture verses and then take them out for breakfast. Mm-hmm. That's a great little hour and a half for a grandparent to do or for mom and dad. And I know moms are crazy busy and my daughter-in-law is crazy busy. She's got so many great plans for the summer about cleaning and straightening out the house because she homeschools.
Yeah.
But you know what? Put that down and say, you know what? Today we're going to go to daily mass and come home and watch how the Lord is going to provide and open up time like you cannot believe.
Mm.
And do you know why? Because you gave him your first fruits.
Oh, beautiful.
And you're also teaching your children that that's important too. Daily mass is pretty awesome. It just sets the tone for a beautiful day when you're putting that first. Right? It's mm-hmm. hard to get in the car. It's hard to go out. But there are Catholic churches all around, and masses are early in the morning. So it's not like if you want to go to 12 o'clock mass, there is. St. Thomas Aquinas has 12 o'clock mass. That's a great mass to go to, too, and then maybe go out for a burger after
Absolutely.
For lunch.
Absolutely.
You know, there's ways of making it work and putting God in their lives. It can't be a summer of video games mm. and watching movies and kids saying, I'm so bored, or I'm hungry again.
Yes.
Give them the food that really lasts, that builds up their souls, fills their hearts and minds with goodness. Things in the tone of the home will be very different when God is put in some part of that day first. It's very important.
Amen. Thank you so much, Kathleen Lindemann, parishioner and director of adult evangelization at St. Michael the Archangel in Woodstock, for blessing us with these wonderful ideas how we can keep our kids engaged and faith-filled during summer break.
Thanks for having me, Allison. And it's going to be a great summer. Let's get ahead of it and make it great for Jesus.
Dr. Ray Guarendi here. Coming up at 1 this afternoon on AM 1160, The Quest. Join me for The Doctor Is In. But now, it's back to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic Radio.
Thanks for joining us for a special Best of the Morning Quest this Memorial Day.
Today's show was pre-recorded so we could be with our families, and we hope you're able to do the same. May God bless you and our troops. Bob Spidell has a ministry at Holy Cross called the Troop Support Ministry. So, Bob, welcome to The Quest.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be here.
We spoke in the past, and it was so neat learning about your ministry at Holy Cross. And I just wanted to share this with others, because I know there are going to be people out there that might have a family member that is a serviceman or woman, and I know there might be some parishes out there that would love to take on this ministry. So I am happy to have you here to learn more. So, Bob, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how the Lord led you to create this troop support ministry at Holy Cross?
Well, Allison, I'm a retired Army officer. I spent 30 years in the Army, most of which was in Germany, and I deployed to Desert Storm and to Iraqi Freedom just prior to my retirement in 04. I'm a member of Holy Cross Church. I was on a pilgrimage with the church to Italy in 2008, and one of the members of our church fell. I gave some assistance, but she thought it was more assistance than I thought it was. And so we kind of watched after her over the course of the pilgrimage. And then when we returned to the States, I was with some veteran friends at Matthew's Cafeteria in Tucker, Georgia, and we were packing boxes, and there happened to be a journalist from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution who saw us and wrote a story about us sending packages to veterans.
Wow.
And Eleanor saw this interview and decided that it might be a good idea for Holy Cross to send some packages to troops. So Eleanor and I talked. We briefed the parish council on a plan to do that. And the parish council came back and said, well, why don't we just create a ministry? And so we did. And in October of 2008, we started the ministry. We collected at the beginning of the month, and we sent care packages to troops. Mm-mm. And we've been doing it since October 2008. And to date, we have sent over 4,500 care packages to troops deployed everywhere from Djibouti to Iraq and Afghanistan and now Eastern Europe, the Ukraine crisis.
Wow, what a treat. I bet those servicemen and women are just grateful to know that they are loved and they are getting these packages.
Yeah, we get great thank you notes from the troops and from the Red Cross and USOs, who we also send boxes to. One of the troops at one time sent us a note. He says, thank you so much. God bless you. But please don't send me another box. Send one to my buddy instead, because he never gets mail from home. And we responded and said, no, we're sending you a box, but we will add your buddy to our list.
Oh, I love that. So why is it so important? Why is it so important to have that ministry at your parish?
It has really become a very popular ministry. We get donations every month that really surprise us and continue to grow despite the fact that we have pulled out of Afghanistan and for the most part out of Iraq. We have troops deployed to Eastern Europe that are thankfully still in a peaceful situation, but the parish members want to continue supporting. So we are not only sending care packages, but every month we send a donation to one of the charities that support veterans and military members. And I carefully go over that list of charities. So we send a check every month to them, and then in December we'll send a check to the Air Force and the Army and the Marine Corps, Navy Marine Corps aid societies for their needs to help out, especially spouses and family members who have people deployed.
Wow, that is so wonderful. Because I'm sure the families of those that have loved ones overseas, I'm sure it's challenging when you're back at home raising families, you know, without your spouse.
It's very challenging. And frequently they have an issue with rent. It may be only for a month or so. But those organizations help take care of them, at least in the temporary mode, until they can get a permanent solution to whatever problem they may have.
Wow. So, Bob, what type of support do you all give to the servicemen and women, like in your little boxes, or what type of outreach?
What we do with the boxes is a combination of personal hygiene items, as well as snacks and things that might be difficult for them to be able to get, especially those in more remote sites. Mm-hmm. Candy, chips, Slim Jims are some of the snack items. And then we send toothpaste, shampoo, soap, toothbrushes as part of the personal hygiene parts in the package. And then we send a letter from the pastor, or signed by me for the pastor, asking them to give us feedback if there's special needs that they may need, or that any recommendations on changes.
Because, again, you want to take care of them. I mean, they're taking care of us. We want to give them this, all the support that they need and all those treats, because that's not something that they normally probably have readily available.
Yeah, some in some places it's extremely remote, like Djibouti. And so they are very happy just about with anything we send. Aww. We'll also send like little raviolis for the and microwave popcorn and stuff if they happen to have a microwave. But some of them don't even have that. So the chips, Oreos, those are the things that they really like. And we send a prayer square. Mm. We have a square that we put a crucifix inside. The ladies in the parish sew two pieces of cloth, usually in a red, white, and blue configuration.
Yeah.
And there's a note attached to it and says, when you touch this crucifix, you know the people of Holy Cross are praying for
oh,
you.
Oh, I love that. So you're feeding them, you're giving them, you know, different treats to snack on, but also you're bringing Christ to them as well.
Yeah, we send rosaries.
Nice.
We send other items. I've even had Protestant chaplains get back with me and ask for more of the crucifix squares. We're working on them too.
That is beautiful work, spreading the love. I mean, again, this might be the first time maybe those Protestant pastors have ever dealt with these different items or seen a crucifix yeah. or realized how important, and then they see their troops opening them and the joy that comes out of them, I'm sure, is
right.
beautiful. Okay, if we have a family member who's overseas in the military, could they get added to your list?
Absolutely. They can send it to me at spidelr@AOL.com. We'd be more than happy to add them to our list.
If there's another parish out there that is listening and wants to bring this to their parish, what would they do?
First of all, there's no problem with them contacting me at that same email address or through Holy Cross itself, or Eleanor, who's really the brains behind this operation. And we'll be glad to talk to them about how we started and the steps we took and the changes we've made over the years, because the missions have changed. Mm-hmm. We don't have nearly as many troops deployed to remote sites and dangerous sites mm-hmm. as we had before, but we still have some. And our focus is a little bit more now on Red Crosses and USOs because they have the ability to distribute the items that we send them. And so we'd be more than happy to assist anybody who has questions or would like to start a ministry like our troop support ministry.
So if anybody wants to get in touch with you regarding volunteer opportunities, they could also go to the Holy Cross website to find your ministry information there as well, correct?
Yes, they can.
And then your email, spell that last name for me.
Yes, spidelr@AOL.com.
Well, Bob, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to talk to us about your wonderful ministry at Holy Cross.
Thank you very much. Pleasure being here today.